Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Saving for something special? Let our savings plans bring your plans to life. Visit zurich.ie to learn more.
Hello and welcome. It's Katie Hannon here on today's Drive Time. Coming up, evacuate early, Wexford County Council's advice to Enniscorthy residents this evening. Emergency services on standby as more rain and flooding expected across the weekend. A bougie breakfast for St. Bridget, recipes for when tea and toast just won't cut it. Buttering us up, will the latest price wars mark a turning point in food inflation? Una Kelly reports from the final day of the George and Ken Show inquest. And we look back on a busy news week with our Friday catch-up panel. You can WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32, text us on 51551, or you can drop us an email to drivetime@rte.ie. And I want to go straight over to Wexford now, to Enniscorthy, where water levels are rising steadily. For more on this, we are joined by Eddie Taff, Chief Executive with Wexford County Council. Eddie, what is the situation there right now?
Unfortunately, water levels are starting to rise continuously now in Enniscorthy, and we still have further rain to come on the Slaney catchment later tonight. So we're at significant risk of flooding at the moment.
And is this going to affect the same businesses and residents that were impacted over the last few days, Eddie?
It's possible, yes. At the moment, the indications are, because we haven't had the worst of the rainfall hit the catchment, that it's really the rain from yesterday that is causing the rise at the moment. And with that further rain coming in later, the additional effect is that, as I say, we're at significant risk of flooding. Obviously, we're hoping it won't be as bad as before, but we are putting preparations in place, assuming the worst.
OK, and what are those preparations then? What are you able to do ahead of this?
Well, we've reissued sandbags to any of those residents who needed more sandbags. We have our crews on standby, and we've advised those households that availed of emergency accommodation earlier in the week to just advise them that emergency accommodation is still available for them if they wish to choose, and that given the risk involved tonight, it might be wiser if they were to, consider moving sooner rather than later before it gets too late. But it's just really to reassure them that the accommodation they availed of earlier in the week is still available.
OK, so is that what you're saying to people right now then, Eddie? Don't wait for it to come in the door here. Move if you can. Do you have any other advice for people in this area who might be facing into more flooding?
Yeah, just to remain vigilant. We have, as I say, our crews are on standby. We have sandbags. We have more sandbags coming in so that people can avail of that. But unfortunately, given the information we're getting from the gauges and the fact that there's future rainfall coming tonight, there's a very significant risk now at this stage that unfortunately we could be in for a repeat of what we saw earlier in the week. Obviously, we hope that doesn't happen, but we have to plan and assume that it may.
Okay. That's Eddie Taff there, Chief Executive of Wexford County Council, and we'll keep an eye on how things are developing there in Enniscorthy. Could be in for a difficult evening and night there, but as Eddie says there, hope for the best. Now, we want to, of course, we're at the start of the bank holiday weekend, and there are seven counties under a yellow rain warning, which runs until midnight on Saturday. Bank holidays are, of course, when people are likely to be on the move across the roads and rail services. And I'm joined now by Jane Creggan, Deputy Corporate Communications Manager with Irnruth Éireann. Jane, you're very welcome.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
I'm good, Jane. I know there were problems this morning with services to the north of the country. What's the situation now for the Belfast to the Dublin to Belfast trains?
That situation is the same. So north of the border, there is a bus transfer in place between Newry and Belfast. And we anticipate that may well continue tomorrow as well. We also have other line improvement works happening over the weekend. So there will be a bus transfer on Enterprise services between Connolly and Drogheda also.
OK, so it was flooding on the line that was the problem there, was it, Jane?
Yeah, there's flooding north of the border. So that's why we haven't been able to operate since Tuesday. Enterprise services all the way through as far as Belfast. Now, my colleagues in Translink are monitoring the situation there, and hopefully we'll be back running soon, but at the moment I don't have an estimation about when that bus transfer will stop and train services will continue all the way through.
Okay, so that's just for the foreseeable that bus transfer will be in operation. I know we're getting used, this is a new bank holiday for us, we're really not getting used to it yet, but are you expecting much more passengers on Éireann Road Éireann this weekend?
Yeah, like, you know, it wouldn't be the busiest because obviously it's a new bank holiday as well. And the time of the year, I suppose people are more inclined to stay put with the bad weather and everything like that. But we do, have seen services busy today, but we have taken this opportunity to do some significant line improvement works across the country. So we have line improvement works happening between Connolly and Drogheda. We also have works between Athlone and Port Hardington. And we also have works in Cork. So there is like significant alteration to services right through the weekend. So we would be advising anyone who's intending to travel with us to check their times before they travel at irishrail.ie, because times may have altered or else there may be bus transfer for part of your journey.
I'm wondering, when you planned this work on those lines, were you anticipating it would be happening in this kind of weather, Jane?
We weren't, to be fair, but I suppose at this point we don't want to cancel because there's hundreds of people that will be working right through the weekend as part of these, and I don't envy them being out in the kind of weather that's forecast. But I suppose that's on the east of the country. It's probably going to be more challenging. I don't think it's as bad in Cork or in the west, so hopefully they'll manage to not be too impacted. But I suppose, as they say, there's no such thing as bad weather, only in appropriate clothing for that kind of work. So I'm sure they'll be well kitted out. And, you know, we're grateful for all this work because, you know, on maintenance work is something that has to be done. You know, it is a disruption to our customers. But we choose to do it at this weekend because it's not as busy festival or event-wise as some of the bank holidays in the summer would be. So that's why we've a large programme of work this weekend, albeit the weather will be a challenge.
OK, thanks for that update. There, that's Jane Creegan from in Éireann Road Éireann. And now I'm delighted to say RTÉ's Trevor Keegan has joined me in studio. Trevor, that's the rails catered for. What is the situation on the roads this weekend?
Yeah, well, obviously, as Jane was saying, because they have a lot of road or rail closures and restrictions, there will be more traffic on the roads. But as she was also saying, it is the lesser busy one of the 10 bank holidays we have each year, the weather being a factor, not many events happening. There is already extra traffic happening out there. But you know, Katie, like, I've many professional hats in this building, but one of them for when I first started 30 years ago was a road watch. And back in the day, we gave it all, the advice was always caution and care. And I think there's a synergy of factors at play here this weekend where people would need an extra amount of caution and care, because obviously people who are travelling may be travelling to local areas where they're not familiar with the areas that are prone to flooding. I mean, locals will know local roads. We all know some areas in our local domain where there's flooding that stays there and could be have been there all this week. If you're travelling to that area, you probably wouldn't be familiar with it. It may not have signs up warning that it's there, and particularly so if you're travelling at night, it's even more difficult to see. So the care and caution element is the real factor for road users this weekend. So far, not too bad out there. Okay. We have, obviously, yeah, you can guess at the M50, problems heading to it as well. There's a breakdown there outbound on the N7 near the flyover. Navan Road heading to M50 slip has a breakdown. Carlow has a crash that's north on the M9 between junctions 7 and 6, Paulstown and Carlow South. And Cork has an incident, we're not too sure exactly the nature of that incident, on the Fota Road, which is near the entrance to the wildlife park. But still, obviously, your Friday busy levels are prevailing as well. But so far, so good-ish.
Okay, so far so good-ish. Okay, we'll take that for the day that's in. Okay, that's Trevor Keegan there. Many thanks for that. Now, speaking of flooded roads, we are also joined on the line by David Martin from the Road Safety Authority. David, we heard from Trevor there about the possibility of flooding and making people, suggesting that people must take care, particularly if they're not familiar with those roads that they may be travelling on this weekend. What advice would you have for motorists?
Well, Trevor's advice is very good. Care and caution, particularly in the east of the country this evening with the weather warning that's going to be in place for rain until midnight. Look, as Trevor said, people might be travelling on routes that they're not familiar with. If you do come across a flooded road, I think it's very important not to attempt to drive through it. The flooded roads, they can appear shallow, but they're frequently deeper than you think. The verge may have subsided, and there may also be trees or other debris that have fallen. So just our advice is turn around and choose another route.
Because I know a lot of people will be reluctant to turn around if it's, you know, they may not be familiar of other routes, or it may be take them a long way out of the way, and they may might be looking at a car driving through that flooded area ahead of them. You're saying even in those circumstances, you shouldn't chance it?
Absolutely, don't chance it. Maybe if the road is partially flooded, take a turn and use the part that is dry. So, wait for the car. If it's the other side of the road, you can veer across into that, but make sure to do it very carefully. Make sure that the car's oncoming traffic has passed. You could do that. But if the road is fully flooded, it's unequivocal advice, Katie, do not attempt to drive through it. It's, as I said, the verge may have subsided, there may be debris, but they're frequently a lot deeper than you might anticipate. And look, we all have our Google Maps on our phone now. Pull in, have a look. They'll provide you with an alternative route. You want to get there safe and sound on the bank all the weekend rather than being stuck in 2 feet of water in a stalled car. So absolutely unequivocal advice there.
OK, what about braking distance then in this kind of weather?
Well, look, there's a lot of rain, so we're advising people to take greater braking distance between themselves and the vehicle in front. So slow down, allow that greater distance. This is particularly important on motorways where there's always an increased danger of aquaplaning. So give yourself a bit more space than you might normally do. Take special care if you're behind trucks or goods vehicles. They generate a lot of spray, which we're all familiar with, us drivers are familiar with, that reduces your visibility. So hold back a bit there. And the other thing I think we should mention as well is follow the recommended routes. There may be signs from the Gardaí or the local council saying the road ahead is closed. It's closed for a good reason. So turn around and follow the recommended route. And a good tip as well is if you do drive through water, when you come out, drive slowly with your foot on the brake pedal for a short distance, and because this helps to dry the brakes. So just that's a good tip for if you do have to go through a puddle or whatever.
Okay, I haven't heard that one before. So
It does really help. And the other thing I might just say, drive with your dipped headlights on at all times. Visibility is an issue.
Any other checks you should carry out before you leave the house, before you sit into the car at all?
Well, absolutely make sure that I say this all the time, make sure your tyres are in good nick and that the tread is at the appropriate depth, because that's really important in these tricky driving conditions. Make sure your lights are also in good nick as well. Visibility is key in these dangerous driving conditions.
In terms of speeds, obviously, is a big issue as well, as you said there, with braking.
It absolutely is. Slow down. Absolutely. Take your time. Just exercise caution, as Trevor was saying, because braking distances are going to diminish in this weather. And the other thing as well is keep an eye out for our more vulnerable road users as well, cyclists, pedestrians. And we'd also advise pedestrians and cyclists and e-scooter users to make sure you're seen. So visibility and light is reduced in these weather conditions. So just keep safe and making sure you can be seen. We advise you to wear bright clothing and maybe even some high vis material as well. If you're in rural area and there's no footpath, look, walk on the right hand side of the road facing the traffic. If there's no footpath, just be aware of that.
Okay. Good advice there. That's David Martin there from the Road Safety Authority. Many thanks for that. And if I can bring in Joanne Walsh now, CEO of Water Safety Ireland. Good afternoon, Joanne.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Now, I suppose it's not really a weekend for going swimming, maybe for some people it will be. But it's a long weekend and many people will be getting out and about for long walks. But for many counties, after a week of heavy rain and flooding, that alone can be a dangerous activity now.
Absolutely, Katie. And to continue the theme that everyone has used today, care and caution, caution and care, it's number one. So safety is number one. So look, we've had a lot of rain this week. We've had the effects from Storm Chandra, and the pathway you might be walking on today or tonight or tomorrow may be a lot different from the path you walked on last week. With the rain, the edges of the pathway you've walked on could be friable, weak, could have broken away. So there is a huge risk of falling into water. So what we say to people, if you're going out walking this weekend, think of the acronym SAFE. Stay away from the edge. So keep a good metre back from that edge. The water can be higher as well. The bodies of water are rising. We know about the rivers. So it can be really, really dangerous. So make sure you're staying well back from the edge, because actually, unfortunately, out of all our accidental drownings, 65% of them are people that were out engaging in land-based activities, walking, cycling, driving, foraging, hiking. They had no intention of going swimming or going into the water, and they ended up drowning.
That so is, sorry, give me remember, that, sorry, Joanne, give me that statistic 65, again. That's extraordinary.
65% of all our accidental drownings were preceded by a land-based activity, and 26% of our accidental drownings were preceded by swimming and bathing. So it's our walkers, our cyclists, our drivers, our hikers, they're the people that are drowning accidentally. And that's why we're really pushing our safe, stay away from the edge. And it's replicated throughout Europe as well. So people have to be so, so careful about the edge, concentration where you're going, looking where you're footing. In the wintertime, the edges are, you know, more friable, they're more weak. And then in the summertime as well, just to kind of think ahead, there's a lot of greenery there and people don't see the edge.
Right, okay, so that's the acronym SAFE, stay away from the edge.
From the edge.
What about the people who will intentionally be going to the water, then the year-round swimmers
or people going fishing, maybe?
Yes.
Our brave bathers and our fishermen. Well, our fishermen, definitely, number one, don't forget your flotation device. Our swimmers, then, first of all, you know, we're out of lifeguarding season. Please go to an area that's known to be safe. If heed the currents, heed the tide times, heed the weather. If it's dangerous, bad weather, wind, the wind can have higher waves, it can have currents, the water can be murkier, darker. So think about all that thing, that's safety first. We say if you're going swimming this weekend or any time, swim with a friend, safety first. It's more fun and somebody knows where you are. If you're thinking you're brave, then you're going to get in, think about your visibility. Our friend from road safety said about visibility on the roads, it's the same thing as the water. You got to think about when you're out in the water and if something goes wrong, can you be seen? Think about a brightly coloured swim hat, brightly coloured togs, and consider a brightly coloured tow float so that if you get into difficulty, you're visible and you can be seen. Think about also if you're getting into the water then, it's pretty cold and the water is cold. It can be anything from 7, 8, 9 degrees. And if you compare that to a pool, if you go into the pool, it's about 28 degrees. So your muscles are lovely and relaxed and warm in the pool. And you can swim up and down, do lengths all day. But out in that cold water, the muscles are tighter and it's harder to move. So if you're out there, think about, you know, your ability. Don't overestimate your ability and underestimate your risk. If you're getting cold, get yourself back in on dry land again. Think about warmth again. And you should have prepared with, you know, a towel, hat, gloves. Get the feet warm, get the extreme issues warm and a nice hot drink and keep yourself, get the heat back into the body again. And hopefully you'll have enjoyed that swim after all my safety advices. But the most important thing is that we enjoy the water, but we respect the risk.
Okay, Joanne, that is, again, excellent advice. That's Joanne Walsh there, CEO of Water Safety Ireland. But now, it won't surprise our listeners to learn that nationally we have had 100% more rain than we would normally expect for January. Such is the extent of the rainfall that many rivers are at or above bank full levels. With the soil now saturated, there is significant surface water buildup and the uncertainty is set to continue. Gerry Murphy, senior forecaster with Met Éireann, joins me now. Gerry, can you just give us an overview of what's happening out there at this point in the day?
Well, at this point in the day, you mentioned the yellow level warnings that have been issued for Waterford, Kilkenny, Carlow, Wexford, Wicklow, Dublin and Louth. And that's due to a band of rainfall that's pushing up from the southeast. Now, those warnings are in operation until midnight tonight. Just until midnight tonight. And currently that band of rain is pushing up. In the past 3 hours, it has dropped another 10 millimetres of rainfall at Johnstown Castle in County Wexford.
That's a lot, which means in three hours, rain, is
yes,
it?
Well, it is, yes, because when we think of 30 millimetres in a day, 24 hours, that's yellow level warning. So it has dropped 10 in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So that's heavy rain again. And that heavier, heavy, showery, intense rain is going to continue through this evening. So with those volumes of rainfall on top of what is already there, especially in the southeast of the country, there's certainly the potential for additional flooding across the southeast of the country. But it must be said that a good part of the eastern half of the country is at risk of flooding simply because even up as far as parts of County Monaghan, Louth, East Cavan. There, the amounts of rainfall that have fallen there, there's flooding in some of those counties too. We mentioned, there was mention earlier today of parts of County Leash. So really all of Leinster, East Munster, because the bucket is full, it in certain situations, it means that it takes very little to tip it over, basically. But the southeast of the country, certainly with the greatest potential for further flooding as we go through tonight. And then that rain becomes patchy tomorrow and eventually clears, a few showers over the weekend, but some respite until Monday night. And then we have more rain pushing up from the south on Monday night.
Right. I see a texter getting in touch from Enniscorthy saying torrential rain falling for the past 2 hours in Enniscorthy.
Yes, exactly. So then it really depends on how well the certain rivers and catchments have basically drained out somewhat over the past few days, but it would be very little because there was plenty of rain last night as well. So the people in these areas need to be on high alert for further flooding.
And again, just when we talk about millimetres of rain, I mean, it can be hard, I suppose, for some of us to get our heads around that. But if we hear that 30 millimetres has fallen on parts of South Leinster in the last 24 hours, like, what's normal?
30 millimetres is, in old money, is a foot.
Yeah.
So basically, if you think that the water levels then have risen by, now there would be... if it was just a clean measurement cylinder, 30 millimetres means you've got a foot of rainfall added. Now, rivers are obviously clearing at the same time, so it doesn't amount to that in reality on the ground. But it does mean that that's a lot of rain. And then if you think about it, in the past week, in the southwest of the country, for example, JFK Park in County Wexford received 97 millimetres since
over 3 feet.
Yes, 3 feet of rain since Monday night. That's almost a metre of rainfall. And that's since last Monday night. And coupled with that, there was very heavy rainfall pretty much every single day for the previous 7 days. So what's after happening basically is that there was a dry spell over Christmas, which allowed river levels to go down. Then really from around the 10th of January, the rainfall has been so frequent that river levels have kept rising and rising and rising. And the tipping point came on Monday night into Tuesday the Slaney, for example, one of the bigger catchments. The rainfall amounts over that night were between 15 and 30, which in a one rainfall event is not dramatic if levels were lower, but at that time it caused all the problems
because of the context of what came before. So are we in a situation then that areas that might not even be in a yellow rain warning zone might experience flooding?
Yes, exactly, because of the fact that anywhere in terms of the surface and in terms of a river where the river water levels have not gone down, and that's for many places, they're all at potential of tipping over the edge once again. So really, especially those southeastern counties in the yellow level warning, but also really right across Leinster, East Ulster, there is the potential for flooding from over the next 24 hours.
Yeah, I'm told we're saying 30 millimetres is not a foot, it's an inch.
So my apologies. My apologies. It's an inch of rainfall. Sorry, my apologies. Okay.
So just going back then to the impact of all of this.
That's correct.
The rainfall is one thing, but then it's the capacity to soak into the ground is what we're saying. So that is what's going to lead us to further problems.
Yes, it's basically the capacity of the rivers to clear, given the fact that the water levels are so high and there's more rain on the way all the time, and the ground itself, basically, which is so waterlogged that there's little drainage off the ground.
And even away from those big flooding events that we're seeing in particular parts of the country, there's lots of smaller flooding incidents in roads around the country, so that's difficult driving conditions for people.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of surface water on many roads. Then, as someone has already reported in there, plenty of torrential rainfall in places as well. So the driving conditions in the rainfall, and then obviously you're highly likely to just go around a turn into a very flooded area as well.
Now, we're a day before the end of January, but we're still in winter. Could there be more to come in terms of storms this winter?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, first of all, you can get a storm at any time of the year. But in terms of winter storms, there's the potential of winter storms right up to the end of March into April as well. Winter storms as individual storms cause problems, but even Storm Chandra in the overall scheme of things of a storm itself was relatively mild, but it's what it was coming after. It was coming after the very large amounts of rain that fell in the previous week.
Can I ask you, just because we've talked a lot about the weather and about Metairn this week, and people will be very familiar with you. You're the front face of Metairn and your colleagues that are in with us here in RTE. But can you just explain to us what else goes on in the background? What else you do?
Yeah, well, basically, there's the flood forecasting division and the weather forecasting division. And the weather forecasting division is public facing. So that's why you see the weather forecasters on the TV in interviews, etc. The flood forecasting division is not public facing. So the flood forecasting division issues advisories every day, flood forecasting advisories every day to local authorities and to the National Emergency Coordination Group. And they work with the weather forecast on the basis of what will the weather in terms of rainfall produce, so that which will inform their advisories, and they also take into account surface flooding, river flooding, and also tides, coastal flooding as well. So the two divisions work very closely with each other, and then each day the flood forecasting advisories are sent to the local authorities and to the relevant bodies in relation to flood forecasting. And it's considered that then these people on the ground in the local authorities are the best people then at a local level to take that information and deal with it within their own area.
Okay, so in the same way that you come on programmes like this to inform the public about events coming up, that information is fed directly to the local authorities?
Yes, the advisories are sent every day to the local authorities and to the national, the NDFEM and the NECCG, the National Emergency Coordination Group.
And at times like this, when the whole country is obsessed with the weather and you know, we have these major weather events, it's a very busy time for yourselves in Metairn.
Yes, it is. Well, but that's as Roy Keane would say, that's our job. Our job is to basically forecast the weather, make the best judgments possible with regard to the data that we have, the advice with the flood forecasting division and the weather models, to decide then on our warning levels, warning thresholds, and inform people as best we possibly can in order to keep people safe.
Okay, and we thank you for that, Gerry. Gerry Murphy there, senior forecaster with Metairn. Thanks, Trevor. Katie Hannan with you until 6 o'clock. And we can go live to Kilkenny now and talk to Mark O'Driscoll, our South East correspondent. Mark, what's the situation like there?
Good evening, Katie. Well, County Kilkenny has become the latest part of the country to feel those unstoppable effects, I suppose, of this week's unrelenting inclement weather. And as was in the case in many areas over recent days, the preventative measures here were no match for the sheer power of the floodwater last night into this morning. In Greignamana, where we are, which lies on the River Barrow, homes and businesses on the quays were left under several feet of water. And elsewhere, Thomastown was one of the worst hit parts of the county, up to 15 homes and 5 businesses there impacted. Now, council officials have said what has caused this flooding, it was compounded by yesterday evening's heavy rainfall, which was already coming on top of a worsening situation, and then floodwater coming down the catchment areas of the River Nore and Barrow resulted in that significant flooding. Such was the force of the floodwater. Just to give you an idea, Katie, a barge tied up in Greignamana broke its moorings this morning. As a result, local rescuers had to race after the boat and bring it to a safe stop before it caused any damage further downriver. And water levels rising steadily here as well into this evening, Katie, in the middle of that status yellow rainfall warning.
Yeah, and we were hearing from Eddie Taff earlier, Mark, about rising water, rising river levels in Enniscorthy again this evening. What more can you tell me about that?
Yes, a worrying situation in Enniscorthy this evening, Katie. A spokesperson for the council in the last while has confirmed that the promenade Promenade area of the town is flooded. The riverside footpath on Shannon Quay is also flooded. And the council is also advising affected residents to evacuate their homes and businesses early on so as not to become trapped. Also, extremely heavy traffic in the town this evening along the quays. The public are being asked to avoid the quays and also not to park vehicles on the quays or near the promenade from now on due to that risk of flooding.
Okay, we'll leave it there for now. That's Mark O'Driscoll there, our South East correspondent, with that update. We're also joined on the line now by Mary Mulholland, Director of Services with Kilkenny County Council. Mary, you're there in Gregnamana as well. What are you expecting to happen there over the next few hours?
Hi, Katie. Well, we're all here watching the water rise, but certainly Gregnamana has been badly impacted over the last number of days, but we expect the water levels to rise. We're going to continue pumping to try and relieve the pressure on some of the businesses on Main Street and just monitor the situation closely and see where we need to move our resources or if we can do anything to mitigate against the rising waters.
And do you have all the resources you need? Like, how are you doing for sandbags and those emergency supplies?
Yeah, we have sandbags available in Gregnamana, Thomastown, Callan, Inisteig. And those areas are used to flooding events, maybe not as severe as this, but certainly we have a good working relationship with homeowners and we've made those available since the weekend. And certainly they have been used and replenished several times over the last few days.
And is it hitting residential areas, these floodwaters?
Yeah, we've had households impacted quite badly in Thomastown on a number of streets. It is quite localised. But for each and every home affected, it's a very difficult experience. Also there in Gregnamana, along the quayside and the main street. And in Gregnamana, we have the situation where the Douche River is running down to the rear of the street. And that has burst its banks every day since Monday. And then that flows through the buildings and out onto the main street. So it is relentless, it's unforgiving, and it's a very difficult experience for the owners of those properties.
And I understand there would be a lot of holiday homes in that area as well, so maybe people might not even realise yet the situation their holiday homes might be in.
Yeah, exactly. Gregnamana, Inisteig, Thomastown and Callan are all exceptional locations to visit for a nice weekend during the dry parts of the year. But at this time of the year, a lot of the properties are vacant. They are holiday homes. And we do our best. We treat all the properties the same to try and keep water away from those buildings. But this year is very similar. The last experience I have is the Christmas 2015 into the new year 2016, the highest flooding levels we've had in these areas, and we're heading very close to those levels again at the moment.
Right. Okay, Mary Mulholland there, Director of Services with Kilkenny County Council. Many thanks for that. And we will move to Bunclody now. I want to talk to Diane Dorn. Diane, you've had your own home and I understand two rental properties that you own as well flooded this week.
Yes. On Tuesday morning, around 7 a.m, the water, the Slaney across the road versus banks, and it just came and destroyed properties on Ryland Road. One belonging to myself, and two belonging to my family as rental properties. So it was devastating.
And this is not usual. I understand it's decades and decades since there was another flood there.
Yes, I think it was 1965. There was a massive flood here, so it's not a usual occurrence.
So when did you realise that you were in trouble this time, Mary or Diane?
Well, I went out to the gym around 6:15. When I came back, it was roughly around 7:15. And my partner and neighbour were standing outside the houses and looking down the drain. They said, when I got out of the car, they said to me, we're in trouble, we think. So from around 7:15 to about 10:15, we were filling our own sandbags. There wasn't one sandbag in the whole of Bunclody. We rang the local authorities and we just couldn't get sandbags. So we got empty coal bags and started filling them with sand and putting them in front of all the doors. I had to get out in the middle of the road for about 3 hours and start directing traffic, trying to get traffic to turn around. And if they insisted that they go through, I was trying to get them to go slow, because the faster they were going through the water as it rose, it just kept sending up massive waves against our houses, and the water starts. And then around 11 o'clock, the water just start coming in through the backs of the houses. And we had friends and neighbours, and we had that coming in and helping, just trying to get it out of the houses. They had jugs, we had buckets, we had everything, just trying to get it out. And we just had to give up then, as it just rose and rose and rose. Up to our knees.
I just can't imagine, Diane, that moment when you realised that there was no stopping it.
No, there was nothing we could do then at that stage. We just tried to get as much furniture as we could upstairs. One of the rental properties is just an all downstairs apartment, and that man had to endure his beds, his sofas, everything absolutely destroyed. He's actually out of the house now at the moment, and it won't be ready for months.
And how much damage was done in your own house, Diane? And like, where are you at now with the cleanup?
Well, we thank God we're tiled throughout. I have an open plan downstairs here, and we squidgied it all out the next day. But we've no fridge, no washing machine, no sofa. We have a kitchen table. That's all we have here down at the moment. We can't eat here. We're eating up in the local restaurant or in friends' houses, and that's where we are.
And was there much damage done apart from that? I mean, did you manage to get most of your stuff out of the way?
We had to throw out everything. Do you know what I mean? So, like, we had to throw out our sofa. We had to throw out chairs. We had to throw out, you know, like, we have a few bits upstairs, all right, like the coffee table and things that were easy to put up, but everything else is gone. All our doors are warped down here. There's still water flowing out of them. There's a big puddles of water at the moment I'm looking at here. All our kitchen presses are warped, and there's still water flowing out of them.
Apart from just the damage and the money and the cost of all of that, I just think the psychological hit of going through this.
So stressful. I haven't slept properly since Tuesday. My son rang, his school rang me this morning, or in the middle of the day around 12 o'clock, that he wasn't well. And the secretary said to me, it's just probably everything together, you know. And then I started worrying that, because it wasn't only water that started coming up in the back, it was sewerage water. You know, it was raw sewerage. So now I'm worrying that he's after picking up something from that. You know.
And is this? Are you hopeful now that this is it? Are you worried, Diane, that there might be another flood?
Very worried that they're we're on standby here, to be honest, at the moment. You know, I haven't sat down and at all today. So when I get off the phone here now, I'm going to start putting sandbags in front of the doors again, and we'll just have to cross our fingers and hope for the best as we go to bed tonight.
Do you think you'll sleep?
Probably not. Maybe of exhaustion around 2 o'clock in the morning. But
Diane, I'm really sorry. I mean, I can only imagine the stress of that, and just not knowing if there's more on the way.
Exactly. I'm checking. I keep checking the weather app. I keep checking the river levels and kind of checking social media and, you know, just looking down the drain that it actually originally came up through, and you know yourself now.
Yeah. Well, look, I wish you the best of luck. We'll keep everything crossed for you there. That's Diane Dorn there in Bunclody, and many thanks for taking the time to explain your situation to us there. It's a terrible situation to find yourself in. We're joined on the line now by Colleen O'Reilly, Chief Executive of Carlow County Council. Colleen, thanks for taking the time to talk to us. We've been hearing a lot about the Slaney over the last few days, and we know that that flows through Tullow in Carlow. But Carlow Town itself is on the Barrow. So you're dealing with two different rivers and two different problems there.
Yeah, I suppose, listen, it's been a very difficult week, and I can only hear Diane there. It's still quite shocking, and you can only imagine how stressful that is. I think most local authority officials and people living by the rivers all week have been living on waterlevel.ie and checking. We have three rivers in the county, and all very different. So the Slaney would fill from the Wicklow Mountains, and would come through Tullow quite quickly. So the rain that will fall in the Wicklow Mountains will be through Tullow within 6 hours. And then it's I suppose if you think of it like a sink, it just fills and empties. By the time it gets down to Enniscorthy, it's moving much slower because it's further down the catchment, you know. So we're monitoring that, but that does happen quite quickly, so we're less worried about that. And we do have good flood defences in both Tullow and Carlow Town, so that's quite positive. Carlow Town, the Barrow rises and falls quite slowly, so we're looking really, the Barrow was rising this morning, it's levelling off as we speak. The water we're getting in the Barrow at the moment probably fell in Port Arran or Mount Mellick sometime yesterday. So that it's important to know your rivers and how quickly they fill and how quickly they empty and where the water is coming from, you know.
Right. And what would be your biggest worry right now from what you're seeing?
The Slaney for us, it's kind of a regular thing because when water falls in the Wicklow Mountains, it kind of rushes through Tullow. We're keeping a very good eye on the Barrow, and the third river, which I'd mentioned, was the Burren. And the Burren comes from the Blackstairs Mountains across the county into the Barrow. And when the Barrow's high, the water can't get in from the Burren, and that backs up. So Wednesday night, we overtopped some berms there in Millrace Gardens and Springfield. So we had to increase the height and install pumps to pump water out there. We were very lucky. We didn't have anybody flooded out there. So our big worry at the moment is the Burren. We have flood defences that are in Carlow Town on the Barrow. They're built to withstand 47.4 above Dadum, so that's 47.4 above Malin Head. The big flood in 1947 was 47, so we're 0.4 of a wall above the biggest flood recorded, and at the moment we're 0.65 below the biggest flood recorded. So we have about a half a metre to spare, but I suppose as I'm looking outside and it's raining, you know, I know full well that the water in Barrow will come tomorrow that's falling now. So the water we're seeing at the moment fell yesterday, if that makes sense. So we expect it to continue to rise, but we would be very hopeful that our flood defences in Carlow Town would hold. And our big worry is the low-lying area of Pembroke and how the Burren will interact with the Barrow as it comes into it.
Right, OK. Well, we all hope those flood defences hold up. But many thanks for that update. That's Colleen O'Reilly, Chief Executive of Carlow County Council there. Many thanks for that. Now, as of yesterday, just to let people know, nearly €20,000 have been paid out in emergency response payment to 34 people impacted by Storm Chandra. The payment is available to people living in properties in areas directly affected by flooding. And from what we're hearing, there will be many more calls on that fund.